You to turn with me, and I want to read some passages. I want to talk to you about. I seen on a T-shirt a guy this past week, and it said, "Fight the good fight of faith." And I went, "Well, what faith are you fighting for?" On the front of it, it said, "What are you fighting for?" Well, I didn't care what he's fighting for. I want to know what faith he's fighting for. And so I got to thinking about it and got studying about this. And so I want to talk to you about that good fight of faith. And have you ever heard that saying, "Well, it's not worth fighting for"? Well, there are some things that is worth fighting for. And I want to look at some things about it. First of all, I want you to notice, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read some things in here, and notice what he says. He's talking about the gospel. And come down to verse 22. He said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." Did I tell you chapter 9? Okay. "I am made that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And it wasn't that Paul had the power to save nobody within himself. The power that he could save people was in that gospel, and them believed that gospel. And so our goal and our, we here at Charity Bible Church, we want to see people saved. That's the first thing. That's my heart's desire, is people would come, hear the gospel of Christ, and be saved. And so after they're saved, is to bring them to the knowledge of the truth, and that is believing this Bible rightly divided. Now notice where he goes on, he said, verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." He likens the Christian life as a race. "Every man that striveth for the magistracy is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So there's a reward at the end of the race. Now it doesn't say nothing about this race is not winning something. It's running in it. It's finishing the race. It's not trying to compete with one another. This is not a race of competition. This is a race of finishing. It's a race you cross the finish line. And so those that cross that line is going to receive a crown. You say, "Well, everybody across that." No, some fall out. Some quit. Some start the race, but they drop out. They can't endure it. And so look what he said. "Every man that striveth for the magistracy is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty." He knows exactly what he's doing. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that would be to the people that he's trying to win. Be useless. Not being temperate. Not being bringing that old flesh under subjection, and it causes you to stumble and you don't finish the race. And in the eyes of the people that you're out there trying to minister, you're nothing but a castaway. Useless. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, to have your reward go up in smoke and be rejected because you let your old flesh keep you from finishing the race. We're not in competition. We're not trying to outdo somebody else. We're here serving the Lord. We're not trying to have a church that's better than some other church. We're not trying to compete. We're here. We're in a race. We're wanting to finish that race. Our objective is preach the gospel. Our objective is to live a life that will not bring a reproach against the gospel that we're trying to preach to others so they can be saved. Amen. Now look at this thing. That word strive. In the passage, he said in verse 25, every man that striveth for the magistrate is temperate in all things. The word strife there in the old Webster's dictionary is labor hard. Strive. You work hard. It's to put forth an effort. It's the drive that's in somebody that causes them to do what they do. That drive. The athlete, he goes out and he runs and he works his muscles. He builds his body up. He's got that drive. He's looking for that finish line. He's looking for that trophy. And that's a motivating force in his life. And that's all he's thinking about. That's his life. That's striving. How about you? We're talking about the Christian life. What's that motivating force within you? What's that drive that's in you? What are you striving for today? What are you putting the most effort in today? Some people, it's in their living. It's in their job. It's in their wanting to praise a man. They strive for that glory of somebody patting them on the back and telling them what a great job they're doing. That's that drive. They want the praise of men. Now notice the word temperate. That's a good word. He said also, those that strive, they work hard, they put forth the effort, is tempered in all things. The word tempered is moderate, not excessive. Now I need to be a little more tempered in my eating. I'm just a little excessive there. I'm serious. I could leave off that fourth hamburger when I'm eating hamburgers. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I'm talking about. Temperate. It's moderate, not excessive. Cool. This is what old Webster says about it. Somebody that's cool, calm, collected. Without violence, temperate. Salt. Paul puts it like not easily provoked. Now there's two things about this fight that we're in, and this Paul likens it to a race, but you're going to see that he also likes it to a fight. You've got to be cool, calm, collected in this battle that we're in this good fight of faith. And you got to strive. You got to work hard. You got to put forth some effort in this thing. I think about if everybody that came to this church, if every member was like you, what kind of church would we have? You say, oh boy, this is going to get rough, isn't it? No. I'm just casting out the thing upon the bread, upon the waters. I'm throwing the rocks out. And if you're doing the best you can, you can say amen. Now look at this thing with me. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. And notice, I'm going to read verse 25. He said, every man that striveth for the magistracy is temperate in all things. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in verse 5. 2 Timothy 2, 5. And if a man also strive for the magistracy, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So number one, you got to run and you got to fight in this good fight of faith. You got to fight lawfully. Now every boxer that goes into the ring, the referee's in there, and that referee's in there to make sure that they fight how? Lawfully. According to the rules. In battles you have rules of engagement, and you'll find it no matter how much you fight, no matter how much you strive, no matter how much effort you put into your ministry or your church or whatever, if it's not lawfully, you're not going to get a crown. Ain't that what he said? Verse 5 again, and if a man also strive for magistracy, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. You can strive all you want, but if you don't strive lawfully, according to the word of God rightly divided, you're not going to get the crown even if you finish the race. Are y'all with me? Now I want you to see some things about it. Turn with me and look in 1 Timothy, back in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. If you go back to verse 11, he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and these things has to do with the love and wants of rich be verse 9, but they that will their desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And I don't say that the love of money is the root of all sin. There are sins is not evil, but all evil is sin, but not all sin is evil. Do you catch what I said? Not all sin hurts people. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? Sin. The very thought of foolishness, the Bible says, is sin. Well, that might not hurt nobody. But evil hurts people. Evil has to do with hurtful, evil speaking is hurtful speaking, talk. But anyway, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now watch it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And that word lay hold on is embrace. It's translated embraced in our Hebrews 11:13 and Titus 1:2. It's to embrace eternal life that God gave you. When you embrace it, you're laying hold on it. Listen, folks. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has given you eternal life. What is it to have eternal life? You never die. How many times have I harped on that over and over again? Christians that are saved by the grace of God will never die. There is a death in this Bible, and then there is a second death in this Bible. And that there are people that die in the dispensation of grace without Christ. They go into death, and they're sting in death. The sting of death is in sin. Death and hell were delivered up. Folks, I'm telling you, but those that are saved by the grace of God will never die. They'll never taste death. Their bodies will go to sleep. Their soul won't die. They'll go and be in the presence of the Lord. They don't face death. There's none to fear about death. I do not fear death. I don't want to die. For one reason. I like living. No, just... I don't want to leave people. I like being around you. I like being around my family. I enjoy it. So, of course, this old flesh wants to hang on. But, folks, if it comes down to it, there's no sting of death as far as I'm concerned. There's no fear of death. Why? I'm not going to die. Jesus Christ died for me. He felt that sting for me. He took that sting for me. He died for me so that I can live. I have eternal life. I'm not going to have it. I have it now. Thank God for it. Lay hold on it. When you lay hold on it, you embrace that. The life, well, let's go on. He goes on, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. Look back in chapter 4. In chapter 4, notice what he said in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:6. Notice this faith that we're to fight for. If thou put, it's not the Baptist faith, it's not the Methodist faith, it's not the Catholic faith, it's not the Church of Christ faith, it's not, it don't have no label on it. I fight the good fight of faith. The faith that I'm fighting for is the faith. Look what he said in verse 6. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of what? faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Then there's the fight of faith, there's the words of faith. Well, what is the faith that we fight for? Look with me, turn over to the little book of Jude first. Now, Jude is right before Revelation. You come to Revelation. Now, we are to contend. Find the verse. Where is it? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend is a fight. You go in, you strive, and you're doing some labor. You're putting effort in here. You're fighting for this faith. But the faith of Jude is a different faith than what Paul's talking about. For instance, you go on, he talks about, come on back with me to verse Ephesians. Let's just go back. I don't have time, but we're to contend for it. I'm going to use that. Verse chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, how many faiths? One faith. Look in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then, folks, we're to contend. We're to contend for the faith. Well, what is that faith? Well, it has to do with doctrine. The faith is the doctrine that was given through the Lord, from the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, to you. And he wrote down the commandments of the Lord for you, and it's called the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice in Timothy again, back in 2 Timothy. And notice what he says there in verse 8. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then there is the testimony of our Lord, and Paul said, me his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Well, what about that testimony? Well, look back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, and notice in verse 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, a reference to God, who will have how many men? All men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The testimony of the Lord was that Jesus Christ died for you, your sins. And it was given from the Lord to the Apostle Paul, and he received the testimony of the Lord. It has to do with what the Lord has done for you as an old Gentile and as a saint of God. You ought not be ashamed of it. Well, what is that faith? It's that doctrine that God gave to Paul, and he wrote it down in Romans 2, Philemon. We're to run lawfully, according to the Word of God, rightly divided. We're to embrace eternal life. We're to hold it dear to us and fight the good fight of faith. Folks, there's something that's worth fighting for. And that's that doctrine that was given to the Apostle Paul. Not only do we fight, but look in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. In this fight, there's hardness. It's something that's hard. Something that's tiring. We get tired. We get wanting to go. We want some, get some relief. Look what he says there in verse chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things, that's that doctrine, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, the things, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it's something that's taught. It's things that are taught. And you teach to faithful men. Why? Because they're the only ones that's going to finish the race. Those that are not faithful will not cross the line. They'll fall out. Said the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for magistries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Folks, we're in the battle. We're to endure hardness. And only faithful men will last. How many times have you seen them come and they're on fire? Oh, I see this, I love this, and boom, a year later, 6 months later, you can't even find them. They're not faithful. And that only the faithful will cross that line. Why? They love what they believe. It's a part of their life. The race that they're running, the battle that they're in, is a part of their life. You know the problem with a lot of people? The church is not a part of their life. It's just somewhere to go when I don't have nothing else to do. Come on, say amen right there. If I got something that we teach our children, oh, if there's something to do out there, you leave the church. The church is not important. It's just somewhere we go sometime when we ain't got nothing that's more important to do. Well, there ain't nothing more important to your children, your family, than the assembly of yourselves together and to hear the Word of God taught rightly divided. This ought to be the most special place in your life. But some of you's not lawfully striving. I guarantee you it wouldn't bother some people the doors closed on this place. Because it don't mean that much. Take it or leave it. Now, I'm not talking about going on vacations. I'm not talking about that. I know the book of Hebrews talks about the second coming of Christ and a principle is found in that book. You want to see it? Turn with me to look in Hebrews. And there are principles that's in this Bible that's true in every dispensation. Verse 23 in chapter 10 of Hebrews. Now we profess to be saved. We're running this race. We're striving. We're trying to strive lawfully. We believe in the Word of God rightly divided. Do you know there are some people that after they've seen the grace, I mean, they've seen the truth of the book rightly divided, and they realized they wasn't under the law, and they realized they were set free, and that the Lord wasn't going to stand over them with a big stick clubbing them in the head for if they stumped their toe. I mean, they just quit doing anything for the Lord. While they was in the system, man, they wouldn't miss. They'd give. They'd do the best. They'd just go on and on and on. Boy, they'd serve. Why? They was afraid. And if they didn't, the preacher had them so scared that God was going to club them in the head if they didn't. Boy, they work, work, work. They seen the truth. Huh! You'd think that they'd want to work for the truth. But no, 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 no. Just quit. Sorry. Sorry. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. That's the driving force. Why do you think I preach? Why do you think I come up here? Because I drive your Bobby Cadillacs and BMWs and furnish me $100,000, $200,000, $400,000 haul and 6 weeks vacation and about $100,000 salary? Yeah, that's why I'm here. Why do you think for 30-some years preaching, striving to get people to see the truth, to get them saved? Why? Because of what He did for me. I want others to have that. I want you free. But look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, said, let us hold fast. There's that word, embrace again, the profession of our faith, without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. That's a reference to the Lord. He's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, your life ought to provoke others to do, copy it. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching was the second coming. Well, what's our day approaching? It's the rapture of the church. The Lord could come today. Folks, we are to endure hardness, and only faithful men will last. Why? Well, here's something that they won't endure. And here we go. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Those that are saved must endure hardness, but there's something that people won't do. Look what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You all know how to live for the Lord. He says, verse 2, he says, preach what? The word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. A man that will not tell you the truth and preach the whole counsel of God unto you and preach this book rightly divided, he does not love you. He wants what you've got. We're to endure hardness because the system will not endure sound doctrine. We come here today to study the Word of God rightly divided. We're to learn, to come into the knowledge of the truth. And if you're lost, the offer of salvation has been offered to you. And that Jesus Christ died for you on that cross. He died for all of you. your sins, and He was buried, and God wiped the slate clean. He forgave you of all of your sins in order to bring His Son out of the grave, and everything that needed to be done has been done to save your never dying soul. All you have to do is believe it. Trust it, and you can do that where you're sitting right now, and nobody will know when God saves you until you tell somebody about it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why do I believe that He's Son of God? No, believe that He went to that cross and He died for your sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He died for you. He became what you are, and the wrath of God was poured out upon Him, and God judged you in His Son on that day. And thank God I'm saved by what Christ did on the cross and not what I do. Have you ever trusted that? You can be saved. The gospel has afflictions. And it has hardness, and we have to endure it. But thank God there's a payday someday. Now everybody in here knows what payday is, don't you? I guarantee you, you keep up with it. Do you know when you get paid? Huh? You know when, you know at your job, you know what day you get paid on? Well, you know, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every week, every 2 weeks, once a month. You know when payday comes around, don't you? Come on, shake your head down. Don't be afraid. You do, don't you? Don't tell me you go to that place and you work and don't get paid. How long would you work for that? You work for a payday. So it is with our Christian walk of life. Payday someday. Let me give you some verses. Look what he says there in chapter in 2 Timothy there. Notice in verse 6. I tell you what, go back to verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. That's the fight of faith. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I look forward to that day. I want a crown, don't you? Didn't say how much of the rat not competing. I just want to finish it. A reward is waiting. Look back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He said, endure hardness, endure afflictions, and their suffering while you run this race and fight this fight. And there's sufferings that you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer reproach. And there's going to be times that you think, what's the use? Why don't I just quit? Why don't I just give up? Nobody cares. I get tired of doing the same thing. I mean, nobody cares. I just stay at home. I just won't come. Your decisions affects somebody more than yourself. You want to know an example of that? You remember when Joshua told the children of Israel as they're going into Jericho? He said, don't you touch the accursed thing. Don't you covet none of their, take none of their gold or their silver, or touch the accursed thing. That accursed thing was an idol. They go in there, and you know what happens? A man, he sees a little wedge of gold, and a Babylonian garment. And you know who that man is? It's Achan. And he takes that, just a little bit, just a little thing, and he goes down there and he puts it in his tent, hides it under the stuff in his tent, and Israel loses the battle. And finally they go up and Israel loses the battle again. And finally old Joshua's laid out on his belly out there before God and saying, "Oh Lord, why'd you bring us over here to be destroyed? What's going on? Why are you putting us in this position?" And the Lord said, "Joshua, get up out of that dirt. What are you doing down there?" The reason why Israel can't stand before their enemies is because there's sin in the camp. Finally, Joshua comes down, and it comes down to Achan. And Joshua says to him, said, "What have you done?" And he said, "I saw this wedge of gold and this garment, and I took it." He made a choice. He made a decision. And he disobeyed what the Lord told him. But you know, his decision didn't only affect him, but the Bible said they took his family, all of his houses, his children, his grandchildren, and they took them out there and they burned them. They stoned them and burned them. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when you make a decision, it not only affects you, it affects somebody else. You make a decision, you're not going to be faithful. It not only affects you, it affects somebody else. You make a decision, "I'm not going to do this. I'm not for the Lord. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to serve the Lord. I mean, who cares? It's too much involved. I'm not going to commit myself unto a church or commit my life unto the Lord to serve Him in Charity Bible Church." You make that commitment, and folks, I want to tell you, it not only affects you, it's affecting somebody else. We have a reward waiting. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. And I know it gets hard, and I know it's suffering involved, and I know there's temptations out there, and the flesh don't want to come to church. The flesh don't want to serve the Lord. But look what he said. Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Payday someday. Notice another passage of Scripture. Look over back in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Folks, there is a payday, and it's in the future. And our reward is not here on this earth. But one day when He's going to call your name out, you go to these banquets, and you go to Hollywood has made a big thing about the award show, and they televise it. And I see that, and I think about the day when the body of Christ is before the judgment seat of Christ, and your works has been tried, and there they are. Wouldn't that be something? He'd call your name out, and you go up there, and He places a crown on your head, and the body of Christ is applauding you. Wouldn't you rather have that glory and that applaud up there than to have it down here? Or he's going to call your name and you're going to be ashamed? because of the way you did, and you wouldn't serve the Lord that gave Himself for you, that died for you, that suffered for you, and you was ashamed of it, and you was ashamed of His testimony, and His Paul, His prisoner, and ashamed of the Word of God rightly divided, and you're standing there, up there in the judgment seat of Christ, and the body of Christ is around, and He calls your name out, and there you stand ashamed. I'd rather feel the shame down here than up there. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in what? In glory." Glory is not a place, it's a state. One star differs from another star, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. One star differs from another star in glory. The brightness. Look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 27, he says in Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory." My hope. I want glory up there. How am I going to get glory up there? By serving Him down here. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of person." God is, you're going to receive for the wrong that you do. And God ain't going to look at you and say, "Well, I got a little bit more respect because he did that, blah, blah, blah." No respect to person. I want the reward. I want the glory. Now I want you to have the attitude of Joshua. Look back in Joshua. And I'm going to close. I promise you. It's not even quarter till according to the clock back there. It lacks a minute. Joshua chapter 24. Why don't people have this attitude and spirit? I want you to have that. Look what he says in verse 15, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil, if it's hurting you, unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the attitude you got to have. I'm going to serve the Lord. How about you? I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him before I serve my flesh. I'm going to serve the Lord. Folks, I believe this is the greatest assembly around. Not because I'm in competition, but because we come here, we study the Bible rightly divided, you can learn, you can grow in the grace and the knowledge and come under the knowledge of the truth, and you can know that you're saved by what Christ did for you, and there are no strings attached. Now how are you going to get rid of the bat? How can you beat that? You can't. So don't take the attitude, it's not important. I don't have to go to church to serve the Lord. No, you don't serve Him here. You do serve Him out there. You come here for fellowship, for studying the Word of God, for growing in the grace of God, and support of the ministry. And we need each other. We're all we got. Thank you for being here. May God bless you. Till next time.